All right, so please welcome Michael Kaplan.
Thank you. Once a year, I like to come here and tell a tale of showbiz disaster. And this theme just sort of called to me in that realm. In my early 20s, my writing partner, John, and I, we did a few projects with a guy named Michael Nesmith. And if you recognize that name, you probably know the two main facts about him. One is that he was in the Monkees. He was the guy with the green cap. The other is that his mother invented liquid paper and sold it for a massive fortune and then left it all to him. And so Michael was the living embodiment of someone who hit the jackpot without really playing. And he was a smart guy and a funny guy, but there was just also this mystical kind of, you know, random quality. You felt like if you hung around, if you stood next to him enough, then maybe it would happen to you. So I worked with him on a film project, and that went nowhere. And then we did a TV show, and that got canceled immediately. And then he had a new idea. He was just sort of looking around at the cultural and the technological landscape, and he wanted to make a home video project because it was clear, and in saying this, I'm going to reveal what a fossil I am in the room, but it was clear that at that time, the VCR was king. And Michael wanted to make a home video project that would come out every month. And it would be about what's new that month in home video. And there would be, you know, film reviews and comedy reviews and little behind the scenes features. And he would sell it for the price, he'd sell it for less than the price of a blank tape and ultimately sell advertising on it. And he wanted to call it Overview, and he just saw it as a video that would be structured like a magazine and would even have a table of contents on the back. And so he was willing to put up his own money to make a 90-minute prototype. And my partner, John, and I were sort of the editors-in-chief, and he was the publisher. And so we came together, worked real hard on it, brought in, you know, a film critic from the Washington Post and, you know, this really interesting DJ who had one of the best alternative music programs on KCRW in Santa Monica, and we made the first issue of Overview. Here it is, still shrink-wrapped. Obviously a collector's item. So once we finished that, we had two journeys to make. The first was to New York, where we were meeting with money people and venture capital people and just, you know, playing the demo for them a bit and explaining the idea and how it was going to work. And they weren't laughing us out of the room. That was good. And in fact, one of them got excited enough to bring us over to Coca-Cola, to their special projects division, where we told the idea to these two guys, and they took us seriously and kind of absorbed all the information. So again, we didn't feel embarrassed. Now it was time for the next journey. We had to go to the VSDA convention, the Video Software Dealers Association convention, which appropriately was in Las Vegas. And suddenly I found myself in the cavernous Las Vegas Convention Center in the little Overview booth where our prototype was playing on a loop in three different monitors, and I was having the same conversation 300 times a day. Overview is a video magazine. By that I mean it's not a magazine about video. It's a video that behaves like a magazine. You can watch it from start to finish, or you can fast forward to the segments you're interested in. Overview is a video magazine. Now, by that I don't mean it's a magazine about video. It's a video that behaves by Overview is a video magazine. I once wrote a piece where a dad is talking to his child about drug use, and he can't help himself but get nostalgic about his own good times. And when he's talking about LSD, he says, "I started laughing at the fact that there were verbs." I wasn't laughing. I was truly freaked out because at the end of each day, the English language made no sense to me. And it was just, it was all words. It was all interchangeable words. How could a video behave like anything, you know? And there I am in a casino and I can't understand, you know, my words are my currency. Why can't I just bet words at the blackjack table? I mean, it made no sense to me. And so each night I would kind of have to bring myself back to reality and relearn the language. And we were a tiny little band. There was myself and my partner, John, and Michael Nesmith was there, and a couple of our creative producers. And then there was Leonard Brandy. And Leonard Brandy was this old-time press agent. And I don't know if in his heyday, maybe he worked for the studios, or maybe he like worked specifically for celebrities, like he was Maureen O'Hara's press agent or something. Definitely on the downside of his career, in his 60s, you know, with this high-pitched whiskey voice, and he would come by the booth and look around and say, "This is the future. You gotta be ready for the future." Leonard wasn't ready. Leonard was overwhelmed and intimidated. We could have dropped him in the middle of Afghanistan. It would have kind of been the same feeling for him. He didn't really get what was going on, but every now and then he would pop by the booth and say, "I got you an exclusive interview with Modern Living Room." Just these weird magazines he would find. You know, "Rewind Today wants to talk to you guys." Okay, Leonard, fine. We'll get around to it. That's good. The fourth day, we find out the guys from Coca-Cola have come into town and they want to meet with us. And we're at the MGM Grand and we go meet with them in like some business suite. And they basically say, "We like this idea, we believe in it, and we're ready to put $10 million into it." Yeah, although to Coca-Cola, $10 million is like, it's like the spray that comes out of the can. I mean, you know, it's just, they could do that without thinking. But for us, obviously, we're hitting the jackpot here. And I'm told I got to go back to my room and get like our latest prospectus. And so I'm going down the elevator on one side of the hotel and I'm thinking, you know, I'm hitting a secret jackpot that nobody knows about. And that is, I've had a long-distance girlfriend for 6 years now, this lovely, skittish woman that I met in college who was not going to commit to me, and I was not going to get the balls to just up and move to New York and force the issue. But as this thing had gained steam, I had talked to her and said, "I could offer you a job as a creative producer. Would you come to LA for that?" And she said yes. And so I have hit the double jackpot here. I got this thing. We know we can run it for 2 years easily on $10 million. We can, you know, sell ads on it. Now I come down into the lobby of the casino, cross the casino, go to the elevators to take me to my room, and I'm waiting, and there's a single slot machine right by the elevators, like just one for the people who are so wired on gaming, they can't even wait for an elevator. And so I take a quarter and I drop it in and bam, the lights are going off and ding, 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 ding. And I've $100 worth of quarters is raining down, you know. And I'm an English major. I don't have to break a sweat on this one. This is like the easiest metaphor I've ever seen. It's like, yep, it's all going my way. I'm hitting the jackpot here. I get the bucket. I fill it with the 400 quarters, take it up to my room, get the prospectus, go back to the guys from Coca-Cola. They say, "Look, we're going to do this. Let's just keep it hush-hush for about a month because we have our whole internal process." You know, great, fine, we can do that. That night, you know, we kind of have our very quiet celebration. And the next day I wake up and I think, I'm going to go to the booth and say whatever the fuck I want. You know, I mean, I just do not have to do that. And I go there, and on that day, you know, Daily Variety, the biggest entertainment trade magazine, has done a special issue about the home video convention. And one of the headlines on the front page, Coca-Cola invests in Overview. And we go white, and we are looking at each other. How could this have happened? What are they going to do now? Is the thing in the tank? But above all, how could this have happened? And it was right then that I heard a voice say, I gave them an exclusive. I had underestimated Leonard Brandy, clearly, because he was looking to hit the jackpot too. He was looking to place one last big story in the biggest trade magazine in Hollywood before he was down for the count. And in doing so, he taught me a little lesson about the quantum physics of success, which is that for one person to hit the jackpot, many others must miss it. And the guys from Coca-Cola were much too cool and professional to throw a little fit over this. And they were like, oh, it's fine, don't worry, we'll work it all out. But about 3 weeks later, we heard that they changed their minds and that they were going to invest instead in video vending machines. Video vending machines were the future, but I was ready for the future. I had 400 quarters.